Mr. President, members of council, as you remember, last week I provided you with a 73-page report of the work that has been conducted by the Delaware Wetlands Advisory Committee. That report was pretty lengthy, and Councilman Cole suggested that I try to condense it down into a synopsis. It'll be easier to understand and digest, so I've done that. I'm about a 2.5-page quickie analysis of this 73-page report. The bottom line here is that while there were 8 recommendations discussed by the committee, 3 that were totally regulatory were voted down by the committee, and the other 5 issues were really condensed into 3 major recommendations that the committee is moving forward with. So we meet this Thursday, the 25th, and we have an agenda of issues that we're going to discuss, which are mostly analytical as to how do we like the report that we have. I think that in representing you, the report sounds like what you told me you wanted as we went through the meetings. So I think the report itself contains the things that you supported and does not contain the things that you didn't support. So it sounds like it's a pretty good report from our perspective, but I do have some concerns that I want to share with you. If you read, let me read to you a section, actually lines 32 through 35 out of the parent legislation that founded this committee. That was Senate Bill 78, which was signed into law last July. Let me read these lines to you. The secretary shall, now that's the Secretary of Deneric, the secretary shall, within 18 months of the effective date of this legislation, and through consultation with a Wetlands Advisory Committee, establish under this section, develop wetland protection priorities for the state of Delaware, and recommend for consideration by the General Assembly a comprehensive approach for improving non-tidal wetland conservation, restoration, and education within the state. What I'm concerned, I tried to get a hold of David Small to chat with him about this last week, and I didn't. I wasn't able to catch him. But what I'm concerned about is that the final report from this committee is really only a tool for the secretary to use as he writes his report, which will be the document going to the governor and the General Assembly. Now, why am I concerned about this? In the 73-page report, there are 2 letters, and I read them, and it reminded me that we had gotten these months ago, but let me tell you that one letter that came from one letter that came from Colin O'Mara, our previous director of Deneric, his letter is to the committee while we're doing our work. One of his sentences says, "We cannot meet our goals of protecting Delaware's wetlands with incentives alone." That raised my antenna. The other letter came from Governor Markell with similar verbiage.
I agree with them.
We got this letter from the governor April 2nd of this year, and it's a 2-page letter. And in the next to the last paragraph, again, this statement says, "We cannot meet our goals of protecting Delaware's wetlands with incentives alone." So I wanted you to know those 2 comments are in there, one from the governor, one from Colin O'Mara. I don't think that our Secretary David Small, I haven't been able to get up to catch him to discuss this. I don't know what he intends to do with the recommendations coming from the committee. That's my concern. I know that we've all been hoping the committee would be the authors of the recommendations going to the General Assembly. I don't think we're assured of that, is all I'm trying to say. So if our work, if our committee work does not become the actual report to the General Assembly, we will then have to work in the General Assembly for the same issues. So, and I know that's my responsibility too, but I'm just trying to warn you that I'm suspicious that perhaps in January, we'll see legislation introduced that really doesn't reflect directly the committee's work. Okay? I'm concerned about that.
I'm suspicious that incentives will not work. So.
Well, so we are going to have a meeting Thursday, and we're going to discuss this draft report, and there'll be some comments made, and we'll probably vote on whether or not to forward this report on. What we're not forwarding to the General Assembly. We're forwarding our report to David Small. Mm-hmm. So I just want to warn you that that's what our task is. But I think we've done a good job. I think the committee's done a good job of reflecting your ambitions and your opinions. I think we have a good report. Hopefully that report will be what goes forward.
Sure.
Any
I give you a question.
Mr. Phillips?
Thank you for sitting through all those meetings.
Mr. Phillips?
Any committee members here that?
I believe Marty's here. He was. Marty Ross? Yeah, Marty's here. You might want to discuss some of this with him.
If he can keep it brief, I'm not speaking for the president, but.
Is something you want to add, Marty?
No.
Anything you, no?
Hi, I'm Marty Ross, and I am a farmer. I represent the Delaware Farm Bureau and the Wetlands Advisory Committee. An important thing to note is that the committee, the law only requires the secretary to present the draft report, the final report, to the committee. It doesn't require the secretary to adhere to any of the comments of the committee so that he can march on his own way. There was a couple of issues, just minutia, I guess, but important just in conversation with the council. The voting procedures adopted by committee were recommended by DENREC. And in the report, states factually correct, the committee did adopt the voting procedures, but it doesn't state that these were procedures recommended by DENREC, which would imply that the committee made its own voting procedures unilaterally. The other thing is that in the report, it says that, you know, one committee member expressed concern about voter eligibility and that conflict of interest could arise during the committee's meetings, which they did. And some members might recuse themselves, which would place the voting procedures in an awkward situation of getting two-thirds because recusals basically relate to a no vote. However, while one committee member did bring this up, there was a motion, a second, and a vote to allow for recusals or ineligible voting people to be ineligible to vote. So it was more than one committee member that had this concern. That concern was brought up prior to adopting the voting procedures. So everyone in the room, including DENREC, was fully aware of the impact recusals may have on the process. And that's important because within the report, it states that the no votes that occurred on the regulatory initiatives, ideas, actually passed significantly 15 to 10, which is by a 30% margin. But what it doesn't say is that five of those votes were from the governor and from DENREC. And so, as Mr. Godwin pointed out, the governor was actually lobbying the committee, and so his secretaries and cabinet secretaries, you know, followed his advice, and so did DENREC's. And this was the reason that we brought up early in the process that the possibility of some recusals may be in order. And I can understand the executive branch voting, because if they didn't vote, they were basically a no, an absent, you know, a recusal became a no vote. But at the same time, they obviously were not impartial. It would be similar to one of your council people having an application before council and then not recusing yourself and voting on your own application. In the three cases of the regulatory motions, all three were to recommend DENREC authority. Obviously, the two DENREC representatives were in direct conflict of interest, and considering the governor's letter, the other three representatives were also in conflict of interest. Also, within the report, one recommendation is not in the report. That recommendation is to recommend that joint meetings occur between AgLand, Forest Foundation, Open Space, federal agencies and interested NGOs, and to try to coordinate our funding so that it's leveraged to its fullest and used to its most efficient way. That recommendation did pass the committee. It's not in a report. And lastly, there's one recommendation that the Delaware Farm Bureau made. It has significant support on the committee. We tabled the motion at the last meeting because there was only 19 eligible voters. And in case someone was to recuse themselves or vote no, then one member could basically veto that vote. We have it on the agenda for the meeting on Thursday. Hopefully it will also get enough votes to pass and become the 10th recommendation.
What is that recommendation?
That recommendation was to, on the funding issue that you guys, the council, already discussed and supported at a previous meeting.
Anything else?
That's it.
Thank you.
So that concludes our wetlands report. I will attend Thursday along with Marty, and hopefully we'll have good news when this is over in January.
We can only hope.
Yeah, thank you.
Old business, Redden Ridge Annexation, Rob Davis.